We welcome each one here to Calvary Free Presbyterian Church, Mockerfell. We're delighted to have you along, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us as we meet together tonight, and especially through his word, speak to our hearts afresh. We're going to turn to hymn number 5 as our opening hymn of praise, well-known hymn. We'd ask you to sing out and worship to the Lord. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Number 5 in your blue hymn books, and we'll stand after the introduction and raise our voices in praise to the Lord. Let's stand and worship God. We're turning to the Lord in prayer. We're going to seek the face of the Lord. And as we do, especially for our own congregation, we do remember the Brown family tonight and the Riches family tonight in the passing of David Brown this afternoon in that accident just outside Moneymoor. And remember his mother, Wendy, and the family circle that are in this congregation as well. And just pray Lord will comfort and sustain this evening and in the days that lie ahead over that sudden passing. We'll just commit ourselves to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious Lord, and our loving eternal Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence tonight. We acknowledge, Lord, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. We acknowledge, Lord, we must approach thee the way that thou hast decreed, and that is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. We thank thee, Lord, for redemption ground. We thank thee, Lord, for the work of our Saviour upon the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, he gave himself a ransom for many. Thank you, Lord, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own, bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and died alone. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that flowed from his wounded side, from his hands, his head, his feet. Thank you, Lord, that there's power in that blood to cleanse the vilest offender. Thank you, Lord, the deepest, darkest sinner can be cleansed and made clean in the sight of a holy God when the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied. And we thank you, Lord, for those in this gathering who can say, I'm under the blood tonight. I'm saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, Lord, for standing in Christ. We thank you, Lord, it's a blood covenant. Thank you, Lord, it can never be broken. Thank you, Lord, we're eternally safe and secure in the hands of God. And we praise you, Lord, tonight that there was a time in our lives when the Spirit of God came and spoke to our hearts and opened our eyes and, Lord, did that work of regeneration within the heart. Give us a desire to be saved. And we praise thee, Lord, tonight we're on our way to heaven and to home. We pray, Lord, tonight in this meeting for God's people that this will be an encouragement to them. We pray, O Lord, that you'll encourage those who desire to hear a word from thee. Oh, speak, Lord, thy servants here tonight. We pray, Lord, for those maybe cold at heart. Oh, yes, they're in the house of God tonight. Yes, they're in the hands of God tonight, but truly their hearts are far from God. And we pray, Lord, for those in Bypath Meadow tonight that you'll speak to their heart. Draw them back to their first love tonight. Oh, Lord, make them miserable in their sin and cause them to desire to be in the place where God would have them to be. And then we think of the sinner tonight. And Lord, maybe in this gathering there's one who's not saved, one who does not know the grace of God in their lives and salvation power. We pray, Lord, tonight you'll save them. We pray, Lord, whatever the barrier would be, the hindrance would be, whatever opposition they would put up before thee, Lord, we pray it'll be taken down tonight. And we ask you, Lord, you'll melt their heart as the word of God is preached. And we pray, Father God, tonight that even in this meeting, precious souls will be born again of the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, that one message can be preached, but the Spirit of God can apply it in many ways and individually to each heart. Pray that'll be done tonight. And we do ask you, Lord, you'll take each one who is taking part tonight, Lord, take them up, empty them of self and sin, fill them with thy Spirit, use them tonight. We think of the one who will testify, the ones who will sing, the one who will bring thy word. Lord, may everything be done in the power of the Lord and the power of the Spirit of God to the glory and honor of thy name. Lord, we leave our land before thee tonight. Lord, we're living in a very wicked land. Lord, we're living in a very sinful land, a land where right is called wrong and wrong is called right. A land, Lord, where it seems to be that the devil's having a heyday. But we thank you, Lord, we look up tonight and we see that God is still on the throne. We thank you, Lord, thou art in control of it all. And we pray, Lord, for the day when you will open the windows of heaven and pour out thy Spirit once again upon this land. Lord, we pray you'll start in our churches. We pray you'll start in our pulpits. We pray you'll start in our prayer meetings. Lord, set God's people on fire for thee. Lord, make them a holy people. Make them a people who know their God, that would be strong and do exploits. And then we know, Lord, the blessing will come. Oh Lord, we pray you'll start tonight in this meeting. Pray, oh Lord, in this meeting tonight there'll be a touch of revival. Pray, oh Lord, you'll stir our hearts again. Lord, cause us to remember that Jesus Christ is the answer to our need. The answer will be found when we're on our knees in prayer unto the Lord. And we do ask you, Lord, tonight you'll give us a burden within the Free Presbyterian Church to get on our knees again and to pray through until the answer we gain. We do pray, Lord, that you'll bless in this land. Lord, please keep open a highway for the preaching of the gospel. Lord, give us and keep, Lord, may we still have the freedom, Lord, in future days to continue to preach faithfully the word of God. We know it's under attack today. And Lord, we pray you will help us to be faithful to the truth of God's word. Bless our ministers. Bless each church represented here, Lord. We pray there'll be saving shops. We pray there'll be places where people are born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, come and breathe upon us again, we pray. Lord, we long for thee tonight. Lord, nothing else will satisfy our hearts, but we long for thy presence. We long for thy power. We long for thy speaking voice. And we pray, Lord, tonight we'll leave this meeting rejoicing because we know we've met afresh with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whom our soul loveth. Oh, Lord, speak tonight, we pray. Bless this meeting. Bless the one who will lead. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. I'm delighted to be able to hand over to Hannah for the rest of the meeting this evening.
Well, good evening, everyone. I just want to reiterate a very warm welcome to each of you who have come out tonight. We pray that the Lord will bless you and that the Lord will have a word for each heart here tonight. No matter what that your need is, we're thankful that we have a God who can meet that need, and we pray that even that he will speak to you tonight. We're going to take our hymn books and sing our second hymn, and we'll sing hymn number 58. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. And this line's very important to all of us who are saved. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fear, and it turns their hell to heaven. And we'll stand to sing this as we worship the Lord together. Delighted to have the Reverend and Mrs. Leckie with us from Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church, and we're going to ask them now to bring their first two pieces in song.
And I'm reminded of all God's done for me, and it's through this fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
If I trust the mighty hand of God, he'll shield the flame again,
again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. In the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
To know that the Lord is with us in the fire, just as he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whenever the time comes to go through the trial, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. It's lovely to be here. I have to say it's a little bit strange for me to be here, a little bit bizarre, but it is lovely nonetheless, and we're very appreciative of the opportunity to come and sing to you. This is a wonderful old piece. One of my favorite pieces is just simply called The Healer.
Said yes, I will, and touched him and made him clean. He was wounded for our transgressions.
was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. He has healed my sick soul, made me every whit whole,
and he'll do the same for you.
He's the same yesterday and today and forever, this healer of man today. He was
bruised for our iniquities.
Oh, surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are
And we're just coming now to our offering hymn, and it's hymn number 412. Hymn number 412. And our offering tonight will be going towards the Whitfield College of the Bible, and also to help support our sister Joy Gillespie, who is serving the Lord in Nepal. So 412, page 343. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, as it told thy love to me. And we'll just remain seated as the offering is collected. Final verse. this time, I'll just ask the Reverend and Mrs. Lackey to come and bring their final message in song.
An awful lot of hymns on the subject of heaven, wonderful hymns. This hymn is on the subject of glory of heaven, but maybe from a slightly different perspective. I trust that you are blessed by the words.
Thank the Reverend and Mrs. Leckie again for those beautiful pieces. And we're just going to hand the rest of our meeting over to your sister, Mrs. Jenna Lormer, and we pray that the Lord will bless her tonight.
It's lovely to be here tonight, as much as I feel a bit queasy in my stomach. When Hannah texted me about the meeting tonight to ask me to speak at it, I made a really grave error, because whenever I read the text message, I missed that vital part of the text message that said conference. So I went away and I prayed about it, thinking she meant the ladies' meeting, which would have been significant enough. And I went and I prayed about it, and quite quickly the Lord gave me the word. So I thought, yep, I'm supposed to speak at that. And I got back to her, and a couple of days later I thought to myself, I better take down the details of that meeting so I don't forget. And I was just reading through the message, and here I saw this conference. And I thought, what have I let myself in for? But praise the Lord, he is so good. He confirmed to me again that word. So as much as I do feel a bit queasy, the Lord has given a word for tonight. Therefore, it's a mercy and a blessing to be able to bring that word. Please turn with me in the Word of God to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And God's word says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I'm going to end the reading there, and we'll pray and come before the Lord and ask him just to draw near now and to help us. Dear loving Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that wherever we are, Lord, whether we're at home, whether we're here, thou art with us, and thou art the one, Lord, who helps us. And Father, we thank you, O God, that you have promised that you're a very present help, and you're with us all the time. And I thank you, Lord, that you're able, O God, even to use weak things. And I pray, Father, that you would even cleanse me now. I pray, Father, that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray, O God, that you would, in your grace, O God, come, Lord, now even, and lead me, Lord, in every word that I would say. Lead those listening, Lord, in everything that you would say to them. Pray, Father, that you would help us both, Lord, to be doers of the word and not just hearers. I pray, Father, that we would really be transformed even tonight through this word. We ask, O Lord, that you would take a dealing with us. We ask, O God, that you will perform your will here tonight, Lord, that you will do and carry out your will, and that you would glorify most of all our Redeemer. Pray, Father, even for any outside of Christ tonight. We ask, Lord, that you will come by the Spirit of God and you would grant that precious conviction of sin, Lord, and that you would even cause people to see, to behold the Lamb of God, as we've been singing about. We thank you, Father, for everything that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And therefore, Lord, we have been told this, we have been given this promise by thee, Lord, and therefore we ask, O God, that you would do your will tonight here, Lord, and that you would give us power, Lord. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would even speak in power tonight, Lord, even through us, Lord, even through your word, O God. I pray, Father, that your word would truly speak here tonight, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would even bless us now. In our Savior's precious name, amen. In the body of Christ, every single person has a particular function, a particular role to perform. And to perform that role, each has been given different abilities and different skills to enable them to carry out that function or that purpose. In verse 4 of Romans 12, Paul likens all these different roles to how the human body is made up of many parts, and each part does something different. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, "We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Another word for office there could be function. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ." Each part does something different. And of course, to be able to perform different tasks, each part has characteristics unique to it. Take the eye, for example. To be able to be used for its purpose, which of course is seeing, the eye is made up of special parts, particular parts unique to it. The pupil in the middle is that little hole that lets in the light. The iris controls how much light is let in by controlling the size, by changing the size of the pupil. And behind the pupil is the lens, which works like a camera lens and sends that light to the retina at the back of the eye. Now, I didn't know these things because we're talking about gifts here tonight, and science is definitely not one of my gifts. I had to look this up. Now, there are only, I've just mentioned three special parts of the eye, but these three parts enable the eye to see, enable it to perform its purpose, making it useful. And these three parts are exclusive to the eye. You're not going to find a pupil at the end of your toe or an iris at the end of your elbow unless you're exceptionally different. These parts are for the eye, because those other body parts are to perform their own functions, or different functions. The body of Christ, likewise, is made up of many different people with different roles to perform. And just as the eye has different characteristics from the other body part, Christians have different characteristics, abilities, skills, and gifts given to them. Not everyone has the same gifts. Not everyone has the same abilities. Even in this room here tonight, not everybody has different skills and different gifts. But one thing that we do all share is this. We all have some function to fulfill, some role to fulfill. We don't all have the same function, but we all have a function. You maybe think that's obvious, but perhaps not everyone who is here tonight is living out their role that God has given them. Perhaps not everyone is living out fully what God has called them to do with their life for the body of Christ and ultimately for the glory of God. The human body works best when all parts of the body are properly working, doesn't it? How debilitating it is if you get a bad migraine. If you're going out to work and suddenly a migraine was to come upon you, you can nearly hardly open your eyes. Other parts of your body are affected. Back pain. You're nearly on the... If you have it bad, you could be just lying in your bed. An abscess in your tooth. It just affects your whole head. You think one is bad and then you experience something else and it can knock you for six. And what about each of us when we live out the life that God has called us to? We're to live to serve the body of Christ and ultimately to serve God well. But when we don't live out our role, our function, the function that God has given us, we can hinder other members of the body. Just like that migraine can in the head can affect other parts of the body, or that back pain. We can hinder other people in the body of Christ, in the body of believers, in the church, from being used well. Serving God is using the gifts that God has given us. I'm not talking about, when I'm talking about gifts, I'm not talking about something that God has not given to you. God does not ask us to do things or use things that he has not given us or not called us to. But he does require us to use gifts that he has given us. And each of us has a duty to carry out and to use wisely the gifts that we've been given. And that's what I want us to consider tonight. Gifts and the use of our gifts. And I first want to consider an application that can be made just from that passage that we've been reading. And then I'll ask you to turn to a different passage in Paul's second letter to Timothy, but that's just going to come later. It also relates to gifts. But in relation to Romans 12, what we were reading, it made me think that sometimes in life, whether it's in our lives, our service for God outside of the church or our service for God inside the church, sometimes we can be forgetful of the fact that not everyone has the same gifts as that we have. Look at verse 6 with me of Romans 12. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, what you're good at will not be the same necessarily as the person sitting next to you. You have been made differently. And it would help us really a lot in our lives if we were to remember that at home, in church, in work, wherever we are. The ear fulfills its purpose and it doesn't think to itself whether or not the foot is hearing. It gets on with what it's supposed to do and the foot gets on with what it's supposed to do. But sometimes when we are serving with others, we can have a tendency to misunderstand why someone would do something a certain way, why they would think a particular way about something or about doing a particular thing. We might question why the way that what they're doing, when it doesn't align with the way that we think, we can sometimes think that's odd. Rather than thinking to ourselves, they work a different way from us because they have been made a different way and they have different gifts and different approaches to things. We need to understand that and remember that God has made us all differently. Don't misunderstand me by what I'm saying. Differences are not licensed to sin. We're all called to glorify God and to follow his word. But it can help us in so many ways when there are many things that could potentially be difficult for our lives, potential conflicts, when we keep in mind that other people are made differently from us and they won't necessarily have the same abilities or way of approaching something that we have. They have different gifts. But what we do have are gifts that have been given to us that we have a responsibility to take care of. In John 21, verse 21, Peter says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And the Lord responds in the next verse, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The Lord has called us to mind our own business in so many senses and to be obedient to what we have been told and shown and given by him. As Spurgeon said, it's all very well to keep other men's vineyards, but we must not neglect our own spiritual growth and ripening. As we saw earlier, every Christian has been given talents and spiritual gifts and graces and natural talents, and these require nurturing, which we are called upon to look after what God's given to us. Gifts, opportunities, and opportunities are referenced in Matthew 25. You know that parable about the talents? Do you remember that the master gave talents to all three of his servants? He gave them to all of them. There wasn't one left out. They're given to them all. The two wise servants, they went away and they traded and did business with the talents that they were given, and they doubled their master's property, the Lord's property. But one buried the talent that he was given, and he did not use it. He didn't work for the Lord. The talent given to that servant had been wasted. In fact, that servant is dealt with. He's dealt with so severely that he is described as a wicked and a slothful servant, and the Lord orders that the unprofitable servant be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you are not using your life for God, are you even His? It is so important that you consider that, because your eternal soul depends on whether or not you are Christ's. If you're here tonight and you've never given a thought to living for God and to serving Him, are you really alive in Christ? You need to be utterly sure that you belong to Christ. God's word in Matthew 7:19 tells us, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's a solemn thing. Is your life fruitless unto God? If so far it has been fruitless, the good news is that you can do something about it. It doesn't need to remain like that. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. There's nobody here who is saved tonight who has not sinned. That is why Christ came into the world, to save sinners. And if it convicts you that you're not living out your life for God, that you're not living in service to God, and you know that you have never repented of sin, Christ died for sinners like you. If you come to him and you ask him for forgiveness and you trust in God's offering for sin, that spotless Lamb of God that we've been singing about, behold the Lamb of God, if you trust him, put your trust in him, he has said that him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. We must check whether there is really fruit in our lives and do so according to God's standards, not according to our own standards, because we might think, well, what does serving God really mean? Does it mean going to church on Easter Sunday, or going to church on Christmas Day, or turning up on a Sunday morning? It is too serious a matter to deceive ourselves on, or to ignore our conscience on. And whatever the Lord is saying to you tonight, you need to heed it. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy to give him instructions and encouragements. And one of those is to do with the gift of God. Please look with me at verse 6 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The gift of God that Paul is referring to here is the ministerial gift. the ministerial gift that God had given to Timothy, a gift to be used to minister to the body of believers. It wasn't something that was natural to Timothy. It was given to him by God. It was a special gift. And every believer in Christ, every believer is called to serve, as we've already seen. And in that sense, God gives us all grace and all gifts to serve him. The gifts that he gives us will not be the gifts given to Timothy, but as we have seen and considered already, God gives gifts to his children to be put to use. For whatever reason here, Paul was led to remind Timothy about the gift that had been given to him. Look in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance." We don't exactly know why he needed this reminding, but one thing we see is that we all need reminding of these things. Even Timothy, a man who was doing God's work, he was important to Paul. He was Paul's closest companion, and he had been sent by Paul to the church at Ephesus to correct false teaching there. He was a missionary and a pastor, and yet he needed reminding of this. We all need to be reminded sometimes of things that are so simple, and that is why it's so important to read the Word of God daily and to be under the sound of the Word of God being taught and preached, because we're so forgetful and we need to be reminded of things that can even be so simple. Perhaps Timothy had been slightly neglectful or forgetful of the gift that he had been given. And if a gift is not used, it can be taken away. That's what happened, remember, to the unprofitable servant in the parable of the talents. The talent was taken away from him and was given to one of the diligent servants. The gift had not been taken away from Timothy, but it was not being used perhaps as it should have been. And when gifts are neglected, they can decline. Paul tells Timothy, "Stir it up." Look at verse 6, "that thou stir up the gift of God." The idea is that the gift was like embers in the fire that were barely glowing and almost out. As the fire needed to be blown upon or stirred to enliven the flame, so too Timothy needed that gift to be stirred up in him. And he was responsible for seeing to it that that happened. Timothy was given the responsibility for the gift that God had given to him. Likewise, we may have gifts that need stirring up. And remember, we're responsible for what God has given to us. But how can we do that? How can we stir up the gifts that God has given to us? If it's a spiritual gift, what can we do? Even if it's a natural gift that God has given to us and we haven't been using it. The answer is that very simple, basic truth. Communion with God. Simple, back to basics. Communion with God. We need to be on our knees and in our closets praying, and we need to be reading the Word of God. Have you had faith in prayer before to pray for a particular thing? That's a gift from God. That's a grace that God has given to you. And you would pray to God about that thing that was on your heart, but the spiritual flame has dulled down, and you have all but given up on even receiving the expectation. You've even given up the expectation of receiving the answers to that prayer. And that's seen in the fact that you haven't made that prayer in a long time. If God gave you the gift of faith regarding that thing, then what has happened to make the flames dull and almost extinguished? Take up that prayer again, that thing that God put on your heart. Take up the battle and go forward, continuing to ask God to give the answer to that prayer. Those flames, the gifts God has given to us, they need to be revived and to be blown upon. And prayer is the way that the Spirit is brought down. Remember Acts, and remember how the Spirit was brought down through the prayer meeting. Verse 7 leads on from verse 6. The two verses are connected. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The gifts that you have been given, you should be using. The service God has called you to, you should be engaged in, because God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We have not been given a spirit of fear or cowardice, which is another way that that word could be translated. God has not called us, he's not called for us to shrink back from duty, to retreat or to be paralyzed. How many Christians are stopped in their growth and in their Christian lives by fear? You maybe don't even know. You maybe think you know people here tonight, but you maybe haven't got a clue of the fears that they have. There may be fears in your life that you're not even conscious of, that they are fears and that they really, really are hindering you. Going on well, you have been perhaps going on well, and then something causes troubling thoughts in your mind. Your mind perhaps is swamped with hindering, harmful thoughts. You're no longer running the race, but you're waiting through perplexing, troubling thoughts rather than being strong, which is what God has called us to. He's called us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The gifts that you have been given to use have been perhaps laid by the wayside, and you think you're just doing well to get through the day, never mind about having a victorious Christian life. You're just happy to put your head in the pillow again. As others who you walk with, who you know, they run on past you in the walk, in the Christian life, and they go on well. And you think you're stuck in that place, and you think, this is my portion, this is my lot, I'm not going to have it any different. Well, if you believe that, you are believing a lie, because that's not what God calls you to. God has not given you the spirit of fear. And that is not why Christ died for you. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Think of the love that Christ had to die for us. Do you think then he wants you to go on walking without victory? In Psalm 94:19, the psalmist had been overloaded with negative thoughts, with oppressive thoughts. So many thoughts, he says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me. His thoughts were burdened and overladen. They were just coming at him from all angles. And he says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Full of anxious thoughts he was, and yet delighting in God. Delighting and victorious, despite what was happening to him. The fear of man brings a snare, and fear of this kind and other kinds like it are oppressive and restricting. Gifts are restricted because of it. Days go by, weeks go into months. Who can believe we're nearly halfway through the year already? And perhaps that's you. The weeks are passing by, the months are passing by, and there's little fruit in your life because you're so held back by a spirit of fear. That's not the spirit God has given us. And if that is your current situation or a recurring theme in your life, you need to do something about it. And it's not doing something in your own strength. What you need to do is to pray. The simple basics. But everything is won through prayer. Ask God to give you the grace to overcome. He giveth more grace all the time. I was reading about Mary in Luke 1, and about how when the angel Gabriel came to her to tell her about what was going to happen in her life, and Mary tells us that Mary was troubled. And she must have feared because the angel tells her, fear not. Can you imagine the situation of this young woman? The Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. Hundreds of years. And God chooses this young woman to carry the Lord in the womb. Of all the Jews who had gone before, he chooses this young woman. Mary knew the teachings of Scripture. She knew about the promise of Abraham, because we know that when you read down through the passage. And she knew about the promised one who had been anticipated for so many years. And when this most incredible news is coming to her of how God has actually highly favoured her, she initially fears because of the unusual visitor and because of the unusual message, the greeting that he brings. We can just imagine Mary's surprise. We can't blame her for being shocked and in fear. But if she had known in that immediate instant the full picture, if she had understood the good news that was being brought to her, she would not have feared. She would have absolutely treasured that whole experience. She would have been calm in her mind. But because the situation was foreign to her, this creature was foreign to her, and the situation was foreign to her, and she feared. Has God asked you to do something or spoken to you about something he wants you to do, and you don't understand it? It seems foreign to you, and so you are fearful of it. Remember that God knows the full picture. You can't see it now, but a little down the road you will. Just because the situation that he's called you to is unusual to you, God knows everything, and therefore you should not be afraid of that. With this, I close. That anxious, fearful spirit that shrinks from duties is not the spirit God has given to us. We are given everything that we need. It is all made ready for our use, all the graces that we can need in our lives. Remember that the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't leave us without help because he left us the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is through the Spirit that those things that Christ won for us in Calvary are given to us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All power has been given to Christ. This verse, verse 7, it says that the Spirit that he has given to us is the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think of Christ. All power has been given to him. He says, therefore go. All power is given unto me. Therefore go. He is love, and if we keep his commandments, we shall abide in his love. Soundness of mind, controlling our thoughts, is also given to us by the Holy Spirit. No one knew how to control their thoughts and take every thought captive like the Lord. All of these things, the power, the love, the soundness of mind, they're all things that are found in Christ. These are Christ. And we are given all these things in him and more. So there's no reason why a Christian should live with oppressive thoughts that restrict them in carrying out their duty and in living for God. Therefore, as Isaiah says in 43, verse 6, he says, keep not back. Go forward with your gifts, the opportunities that God gives you. Whatever he calls you to do, go forward with that, not with a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of power and of love and soundness of mind. The Savior kept not back. He did not withhold his life. The spirit of fear and cowardice will seek to prevent you, but keep not back, because he will freely, with him, give us all things. Thank you for listening.
We thank our sister Jenna for that challenging word even to your hearts. We're going to sing our closing hymn now, and it's hymn 458. We're going to sing these beautiful words. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy, to multiplied trials his multiplied peace. And we'll stand to sing this together.
Just remain standing for prayer, and we want to say a thank you to each one who's come tonight and each one who's taken part. We also want to thank you for your offering, which came to £1,150, going towards the folks mentioned earlier. We pray the Lord will use that money in his work. We'll just commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for what our ears have heard tonight in this house. We thank you, Lord, for the singing of thy praise. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of God's keeping and saving grace. And, Lord, that you save and you satisfy. And we thank thee for this, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will also, Lord, bless the word of God to our hearts tonight. We thank you, Lord, this is a living word. And we pray, O Lord, it will be applied to each one individually. And, Lord, the abilities and the talents that thou hast given, Lord, will place back into thy hands and use them mightily. For the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, as we've been singing. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Oh, Lord, there's no need that you will not supply. Oh, Lord, when we come in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, tonight you will take us home rejoicing that the Lord is still speaking to our hearts. Oh, Lord, use our lives for thy glory. Bless the church as represented here tonight. We pray, Lord, there'll be a breath of revival through each one. Oh, Lord, come, we pray, and visit thy people. We pray, Lord, you bless the food to our bodies now. We thank you for the hands that have provided it. We do thank thee and we praise thee, Lord. We can fellowship together as people of God. We pray we'll eat and drink to the glory of thy name. We thank thee most of all, Lord, in closing tonight for the Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you, Lord, for the one who walks and talks with his people. Oh, Lord, we pray you'll keep us faithful until that day we see thee face to face. We pray these things, rejoicing in our Saviour and in his precious name. Amen. and amen.